Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Get your extra money ready, Sean Sharif. The NIL is causing colleges to do crazy things.
Colleges or just you crooks?
Well, for now, just us.
Yeah.
The first, don't think it isn't coming to every school.
Oh, yeah, because of you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Thank you. Great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for passing that on to the fans.
We are passing it on. But listen, this is why we are now the best athletic department in the entire country, which is as proven by the record of all the teams. Because we have the best NIL program right now, apparently, it seems. And part of that is just passing it down to the fans. Tennessee is implementing a 10%, quote, talent fee. So it will be added to your ticket. So if you buy a $100 ticket, it's an extra 10 bucks. And, you know, and this is on top of, this is the amazing thing. You know, to buy season tickets at a college, you can't just buy season tickets.
No?
You can't just go to, say, you can't go down to Austin and go to the University of Texas and then go to the box office and say, I want to buy season tickets.
Why?
Well, because you have to make a donation to the school first.
No, like if you look at this, I've seen the season ticket cost breakdown. It shows you $475 for the game with a $1,200 donation in order to buy season
tickets.
It's
crazy. It's like it's the college's version of the PSL. You can't just buy season tickets in the NFL. You got to buy a license. Well, your license in college is a donation.
And restaurants now with their prep fees.
Oh, my God.
And their 18% gratuity on two drinks at the bar.
Yeah. So
20% even.
This is, and I don't know why they announced this. I don't know why the school sent out a press release about this. This was like, hey, guys, we're doing this. It wasn't like something like SI just found out. No. They sent a letter. They sent a press release.
At least it wasn't sneaky.
Right. Wait till the end of the year and you're in the college playoff or something.
Oh, no. Got to take advantage while Tennessee's good.
Right, I'm saying though, but like,
ride it while it's hot.
You know, like, wouldn't it look better if you make the playoffs?
What if you don't?
I mean,
if you lose two games, I'll wait for next year to give you more money.
Yeah, what if Hendon Hooker gets hurt at the end of the season, and then you're that's nobody's right. excited about
nobody's
you.
Excited. That's fair. That's fair. So that's the first thing that happened there. But again, it's going to be on all sports.
And what's the fee they're calling it?
A talent fee.
This is ridiculous.
If you get a $20 basketball ticket, it's $2. Fans are going to gladly pay this.
No, they're not going to will pay it. They're not going to gladly pay it. Yeah. There was plenty of complaining online last night. But the whole idea of this is coming from a court order about revenue sharing.
Yeah.
And so you're just supposed to share your revenue. You're not supposed to say, well, let's create a bigger tax so it doesn't cut into any of our funds. This was not supposed to be like a set fee that was supposed to be paid, and now they're looking for ways to make it up. You were supposed to share your revenue, and you've got plenty of money flowing into these programs. They are the greediest, disgusting group of people in the United States. The college sports programs, the people that run these college programs, they're awful. They got plenty of money flowing through. You don't need to pass on a 10% charge to the fan base. This is so stupid.
It is. I mean, it's, again, this is the first of many. Every school will be doing this because they're all getting out. Now, is 10% the cap? Is some school going to say, no, we need 30%? Like, you know, like, wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
You know, but there you go. So 10%.
Even God only asks for 10%.
There you go. There you go. Arch Manning is fast. Arch Manning was clocked at 20.7 miles per hour on that long touchdown run. Tyreek Hill was clocked at 20.3 for his fastest this year.
Wow. Ooh,
so Arch is faster than Tyreek this year. Now, look, Tyreek has gone way over 20.7. That is just
in his car.
In his car. That is just an example, though, of how athletic that dude is. He really is an incredibly athletic player.
Yeah.
Did it look like it was that fast?
It did not.
Didn't look that fast. He does look like, I think he looks absolutely like fast and athletic, but it did not look like ridiculous, like straight line speed at all.
How about Peyton's shirt today?
Peyton Russell is wearing a Texas shirt today. Looks like a new one, too. This is 48 hours after he wore a Texas Tech Red Raider jersey.
You're the Micah Parsons of the fan.
This is a guy who has...
The Drake.
He's definitely got the coexist bumper sticker.
Oh, yeah, they're going to have the same Facebook account next week.
No. You know,
although she probably doesn't want to group with him.
No, probably not. But he's talking about the one that's got, like, all the religious symbols that writes out coexist.
That's what he's got on his car, I bet. Yeah, he's gonna have... When he gets married, this man is going to have a hyphenated last name.
You are, aren't you?
Again, she may not want to attach it.
You might. Game day is going to Norman. Oklahoma has their first SEC game this weekend. They'll play Tennessee. It's their first time they are a touchdown or more home underdog since 1998. The program has just been so dominant over the years. But game day is going to Norman. That should be fun. It's a tremendous atmosphere up there. What's the Michigan quarterback?
Oh, yeah. The Michigan quarterback. Michigan has made a change at quarterback. So they've gone ahead and they have benched their quarterback, who was Davis Warren. And instead, they're going to go ahead and start Alex Orji. It's not pronounced Orji, even though that's the way it looks. It's Orji.
I mean, Gus Johnson says Orji.
So Sherron Moore had announced on Monday that, hey, we're going to make the switch. Alex is going to start moving forward. He's going to be our starting quarterback. It's great news. He announces that to the media, which kind of surprised them, because Michigan media has always felt like he's been one of these coaches who typically conceals things, and he finally like drops something for us. That's nice. Well, then they go into the locker room. They're like, let's get some player reaction to this. And so they start asking around. Hey, Donovan Edwards, what do you think about Alex Orji being named the starting quarterback? He goes, well, this is the first I'm hearing about it. And they go around the locker and they find that all of these Michigan players are learning that the quarterback change has been made thanks to the media coming in and telling them from Sherron Moore's press conference. So this is always, whenever these are, somebody found out they were fired through a media report or something, that's always really bad. Now they're trying to justify it by saying media availability is the morning, players then practice, and then they get the team meetings afterwards. So naturally, if a decision was made, you're not going to have it announced to the team until after media. But to me, it's like, you just don't tell the media till Tuesday, or you let it go out and practice and let them see whatever. But you got to tell the players first that, hey, yeah, this is what we're
absolutely
doing.
Absolutely have to tell the players first. It's ridiculous.
I think a lot of times when these leaks happen, it's for someone in a front office or management position to maintain the information that they get back from the reporter they give it to. So it's like, we can deal with the player being upset for a second, but let me make sure I'm going to give this to a reporter. I'm just talking in general. I don't know if this happened here. I'm going to give this to a reporter so they owe me one. Yeah. They're going to give me back. Like, I would love to get a Schefter or a Rappaport off the record to ask them what they give back to their general managers or their agent sources to have the agent or the general manager give them the story. I want to know what level of information is being given back from the insider for them to get tipped off first.
I do wonder what they do and how they do that. Because, like, what is the benefit of the team? Just if there's nothing in return, there's no benefit for the team to give that information to that person other than they just like them.
So
nothing.
A lot of times it'll be something. It could be as simple as, let's say you take a big NFL free agent recently. Cousins. Cousins is out there, right? And let's say there's a couple different teams helping with his services. So somebody from the Falcons might call Schefter and say, hey, they're presenting to us that Minnesota offered him this. We obviously can't ask Minnesota.
Yeah.
And Cousins and his reps are telling us this. We don't know if they're inflating that number. What have you heard? No, they were coming in $5 million under that. That's not good. That's the kind of stuff more like...
Gauge the market.
Yeah, like, can you tell us...
That sounds really unethical.
I think it's just does. More like, I think it's sort of, but it's also, it's the game.
Yeah, I know,
like,
it's the game.
It's the game across the board. Like, the players will use the same sort of leverage. Remember, there's a controversy. I can't remember who the player was. There was a controversy a couple years ago on a story about Schefter.
Maybe it's not.
Where Schefter had claimed that he had given a player an answer about what other guys were asking for on the market. And I can't remember who the player was, but then the player had to come out and say, that never happened, I didn't do that. But that kind of stuff goes on all the time where you kind of just you know, navigating information and trading it.
Tell me if this was done on purpose. Florida State fell to 0-3.
No,
on
not
the
on
year.
Purpose.
They lose to Memphis, who is a playoff contending team from the group of five. So they fall to 0-3 on the year. In Mike Norvell's press conference, this happens in the middle of it to bring it to a screeching halt.
You know, as we continue to work and continue to pour into each other and the opportunity we have.
All right, thank you.
And he just gets up and leaves. 100% chance that was pulled on purpose,
they
right?
They should have done that during the game. They need to do that during the FSU game.
Well, you just gave McCarthy some ideas for walking out of press conferences or getting away from our Friday interview. Just yes. Pull a fire alarm on him.
DJU was 16 of 30 for 201 yards. They are awful. And like he's going to survive this because like he's a really good coach and they were – They probably should have been in the playoff last year. If they did get their quarterback hurt, they absolutely would have been. So he survives.
I'm surprised they haven't announced the switch to the backup, like this hotshot recruit to start for DJ.
He endorsed him this week. That same press conference, Norvell endorsed him. He was like, nope, DJ's putting us in a position to win these games. You know, obviously it needs to be better, but it's like, man, I think we've seen pretty consistently four different programs now just that have not been able to, or four different years now with three different programs that have not been able to make it work consistently.
Cowboys, true or false, coming up at 7:20, power rankings at 8. That's your college football kegger here on DFW Sports Station. Is this the final shot for this group of Dallas Stars with Media Day today?
Well, that is what they are trying to make you believe over at ESPN. Now, the Stars did make some news yesterday, signing Esa Lindell to a 5-year extension, about $26 million. Good on him. But ESPN is doing the burning questions of all the NHL teams. And this one is this the Stars' best cup chance with this core and perhaps their last cup chance? And they're talking about the salary cap. The Stars, you know, I was on a Saskatoon radio the other day, Sean.
I'm not even going to well that one.
Where's that?
It's in Saskatchewan, right next to Regina.
Where? Next to
Regina.
Next to Orgy.
Orgy, yeah, absolutely. And they were like, yo, the Stars don't even have a $10 million player, do they? And I'm like, nah, they got a couple of nines. Because, you know, the whole thing in the NHL is until...
They had you on for a Stars preview?
No, it was for Cowboys.
Oh.
They wanted to talk Stars at the end. But the whole thing until Eichel won was like, you can't win with a $10 million man. Like, that was the whole thing. Like, nobody had ever won a cup with a $10 million player. The Stars don't have one. They might, you know, but they talk about, you know, Thomas Harley is an unsigned, you know, restricted free agent. They're going to have to sign some other guys. And is this the last best chance that they have going into this year? Otter is also a pending restricted free agent, and his next deal could be very, very big. But I mean, is it going to be over 10? I mean, maybe. Bobrovsky is. So that's the whole thought, is that this might be their last best chance because some of the guys are getting older. We'll see.
Mike Zimmer is not the guy at defensive coordinator for this team. The team's leading rusher this year has not yet played a snap for the Cowboys. The offensive game plan was bad versus New Orleans. All these things are part of RJ Choppy's Cowboys True or False. Then we'll chop it up during the commercial-free expressway next on 105.3 The Fan.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are commercial free on your home of the Cowboys on a dark, cloudy Wednesday. I'm looking for some rain in the forecast. I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing humidity. Very, very humid. I'm also seeing Sean and RJ on television all over the place. I was thinking this morning driving in, I was like, maybe ESPN has taken a 105 Through the Fan morning show break. I did not see a lot of Jerry Jones audio interview and quotes last
105
week
to 3 to Fan
on all their shows, but that quickly changed today. As ESPN, NFL Network are going over the Jerry Jones interview that we had yesterday.
I mean, look, it's
the one that I think NFL Network focused, or one of them focused on the quote that we didn't even go over again at 6 o'clock of, we'll go ahead and trade some regular season failures for some more playoff success. Yeah. Like, it just works that way. Well, that's just... You know, an automatic trade that you can make whenever you want in sports, losing some regular season stuff for more playoff success. And then the other one, I'm not sure what NFL Network was playing.
Yeah, a lot of people focused in on the Dalvin Cook stuff yesterday. Like, a lot of different reports about, I guess, Dalvin Cook's not coming up. They're happy with their running game. No, ESPN had a way today to talk about it. I did not click on it, but I did see the headline yesterday. They had a split screen of Dan Orlovsky on his Zoom with a big goofy grin on his face, and then Derek Carr in the other shot, and ESPN was using the headline, is Derek Carr this generation's Dan Orlovsky? I'm sure it was a bit of some sort, like making some wild connection, but even still, seeing that as the front page topic on NFL, ESPN NFL yesterday, I almost lost my mind.
Is that what you tweeted about? Is that what you were saying, keep this off my timeline?
No, I was taking a subliminal shot at somebody that I hope they recognize it.
Oh.
I know. It starts with subliminal shots, and then by the end, I'm buying Calvin Ridley jerseys because I hate Marcus Mosier so much. That
very
was not Mosier, but
LeBron James of you.
877-881.
It's a progression.
Yeah.
877-881-1053 to answer RJ Choppy's Dallas Cowboys true or false.
Cowboys true or false. First one, Mike Zimmer is not the DC for this team. Is not the guy at DC for this team.
False. I still think Zimmer's really, really good. And I think that they're limited in what they have with personnel right now to execute a lot of things that they want to do. Like, they're not good enough on the interior. Mozzie Smith has not been the player that they wanted him to be. They're without Deron Bland. Kalen Carson is still learning. Kalen Carson should have done some things differently in this game the other day. I saw some metric the other day. It was talking about EPA per coverage snap. Mm-hmm. And Jordan Lewis, Trayvon Diggs, both in the top half of the league. Kalen Carson was way behind. So Carson's got to be better. I think you've seen evidence that he will be. But to me, it's just players got to be better. Zim definitely got outworked by Kubiak in this game. But I don't have long-term concerns about Zimmer.
I'm scared because, number one, you got schooled coming in. And then you got schooled during the game.
Yeah.
What Jerry Jones said, yeah, it's hard to rank the craziness of some of the things Jerry said yesterday besides amongst running back room is fine, see no reason for Dalvin Cook. This does not remind me of the Packer playoff game. That was just, you know, the last home game you had before this beatdown. And then talking about Mike Zimmer did not fail in terms of adjustments. That was scary. And that was Jerry yesterday.
We can improve. This is something we can correct. This is not something that we can't look to more like we played at Cleveland than we played out there the other day. We saw things at certain spots we hadn't seen during the preseason. And we had players that were doing things in a way that they hadn't done it before. Had they done it before, we would have been able to correct it by example. So the point is, can we take exactly what we're trying to do and have it ready to go, and have it ready to go in a way that can win these games during the season and get ready for the playoffs? The answer is a big yes, we can.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. Did Jerry Jones just say because the Saints did not show what they did Sunday in the preseason, that was a reason for being surprised and caught off guard? Did I hear that correctly? That the Saints didn't show any of that in the preseason. How are we supposed to scout that? What do you want us to do? What do you want us to do? Like game two, give us a break, guys. They didn't show it in the two quarters Derek Carr played. What?
Yeah, I guess.
Did I hear that?
Is he saying it like in the sense of, man, we had been scouting these preseason games and we didn't see any of that? Or he's saying like, what with a new offensive coordinator, what did you want us to tap into? Because it clearly wouldn't have been the preseason. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to say it like that. I have no idea.
To answer your question, I'm going to say false. Mike Zimmer is still the guy. I can't believe everything I did in the offseason. I can't have the amazing conversation we have with Zimmer on the beach and jump ship on my boy this quickly. I'm scared. I'm worried, but I'm saying he's still the guy at DC. Your answer?
I think he's a one and done.
Because of
McCarthy
and the lame duck status and 1 year contract, or this isn't going to work out?
I don't think it's going to work.
Why?
I think, first of all, they may have the wrong personnel for what he's doing. So much of coordinator switches, if anything, is so much based on personnel. I remember the first time he came in here, he did a great job, but it's not fair because they were trying to change from a 4-3 to a 3-4, but there was a transition there. And he did a good job coaching, and he switched coaching. He went from a 4-3 guy to a 3-4. I don't know, something just doesn't sit right with me on the defense. The game won, it was far more about Cleveland than the Cowboys.
I don't disagree with that. Give me the top three things trait-wise for a Mike Zimmer defense. If he had his dream of writing down, this is what I want, that's what a team would have. What is it?
I think the biggest thing for him is he wants like high IQ mental processors.
Okay.
Like that's going to be the biggest trait. He does like speed. He likes length. And so I think those are kind of the biggest things. Those are all traits that you can like boil it down to. Because obviously you're looking for different things on the interior, the defensive line versus the secondary. Secondary, he does want some length. He does want some speed. He likes bigger linebackers. He'll play with smaller ones. He is I'll play with whatever you give me guy, but he does have preferences. He likes a bigger defense. That's what he prefers.
All right, next one. Cowboys. Yeah. True or false, this team's leading rusher this year has not yet played a snap for them.
So this would have to make me believe that they're going to go out and make a move.
Yeah.
And how soon?
Jerry Jones yesterday trying to make RJ look and sound stupid by being like, I don't even know what you're asking about going out and getting another running back. What are you talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Dalvin Cook is not going to play or not on track to play on Sunday? This is a really, really good question. What's your answer to it?
The leading rusher is, I think, on the roster, I would guess. It's Zeke and Dowdle, though, right now are tied for the lead with 56 yards. So it's not like if you threw Dalvin Cook out there and he got 70 yards this week all of a sudden it's changed. But no, I'm going to say that I just see them too often going, we've made a decision and we want to see it play out. Now, do they make a decision at week 6 and say they need to go get somebody? Yeah. Maybe, but you're talking about a 6-week head start for rushing.
Oh, yeah, but when you're only rushing 30 yards a game or 16, you never know.
I'm going to agree with Bobby. The leading rusher is on the roster, and I'm leaving open for that to be Dalvin.
Did you hear Broadus's criticism of the Cowboys after Cleveland I thought was, especially in the wake of this, was kind of interesting, where he said, you lose so much practice time in this day and age because of the CBA and other things like that. When you were up big on Cleveland, that's when you should have had Zeke and Dowdle in there and try to work on run game concepts. That should have been your reps, is to kill that in the second half of a blowout and try to work on some things in the run game that you can't do in practice.
Next one. The offense.
And what's your answer?
I mean, I think they're probably on the team. I think it's going to be Dalvin. The offensive game plan was just bad versus New Orleans.
They didn't execute in the red zone was the biggest thing to me. I don't know that it was bad. It was just they weren't.
But you both were talking and texting about different things that you were noticing or seeing during that game. Why did you say or think that, both of you?
It was different. They don't run a lot of. They clearly were trying to get some quick stuff in space. Like they wanted to get out free. They weren't doing a whole bunch of just
except for Deuce Vaughn.
I don't know if they just didn't trust their ability to protect, and so they didn't try. They didn't want to do a whole bunch of typical drop back stuff. But there was a lot, okay, shotgun, throw a flare to Turpin back here, throw a quick, slant here. So it just, they were doing tosses to the outside to Zeke. Like, it was just, it looked different, and I don't know why, but it was, the red zone just needs to be better.
A lot of Tolos so far not happy with the lack of downfield aggression in terms of taking shots.
I felt like there was just a ton of curl routes in this game. You know, a lot of the passes were the guys coming back towards the line of scrimmage. That's not what you want. I mean, if you need a first down, yeah, just go to the sticks, turn around, great. But, I mean, it was just a lot of stationary targets. I just felt very, very kind of disheartened by what I saw. All right, next.
By the way, Dak is eighth in the NFL in intended air yards per attempt. So he's pushing it downfield more than the last place passer in the NFL, which is Patrick Mahomes at 4.6 air yards per attempt
right now. Oh, wow.
Well, you can also, answer yes to that question, true, because a lot of Tolos were messaging during the game saying, why is Zeke running outside and Deuce inside? Right there, you can criticize the offensive game plan.
All right, last one. The Cowboys need to acknowledge they can't draft and develop interior defensive line. You just got to sign it in free agency. It's like the Rangers with pitching.
Right.
Just can't develop it, so we're just going to sign it.
I don't know that it's a develop.
Who else is on there? Well, Mozzie and Tristan Hill. Those would be your test cases.
The two main guys, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think anybody else.
Look, Tristan Hill was Rod Marinelli felt like, oh, I can light the fire under him and get it out of him. And you couldn't. Like, he was just, he didn't work the right way. He didn't work the way you were supposed to work. And so it didn't matter the skill set. I think, if anything, it might just need to be they've correctly identified the type of skill set a lot of times, but they've got to, I guess, do a better job of figuring out which of these guys have the work ethic and the capacity to, like, take to the coaching. I don't know that it's a development issue as much as it is an issue with identifying the guys who are coachable and who are you're able to get that out of.
All right, there it is. Dallas Cowboys, true or false, with RJ Choppy during the commercial-free expressway. Some of the other things that we learned this week in the National Football League or after 2 weeks. Kyler Murray's total QBR on Sunday, the best single-game performance by an NFL quarterback over the past 3 seasons. Last one to top him, Dak against the Eagles in 2021 with a 98.9.
Wow.
Ravens 0-2 for the first time since 2015. Buccaneers, it's their fourth straight 2-0 start.
Pretty cool, huh? That's pretty cool.
Chris Godwin in that game and Alex Smith, I got to give him props on ESPN. He called it. He's like, people are sleeping on Tampa. He said that before the Lions win, and he picked Tampa. Godwin had 7 for 117 and a touchdown before anyone else on the Buccaneers caught a pass in that game. And did you say that Aiden Hutchinson had 3 sacks in the first quarter?
Bobby did.
Yeah, and he had finished with 4.5. And so, I mean, he had a big-time game. That's another one, by the way, you got to watch. Because Aiden Hutchinson Aiden Hutchinson, he's eligible for a contract extension in the spring. Mm. If he has a big blow-up year, Micah Parsons' price goes up again.
Malik Willis with his first ever touchdown pass? That was his first ever touchdown pass for the Packers against the Colts? Indy allowed, right? Knowing Malik Willis, probably not going to light it up. The Colts allowed 237 first-half rushing yards. What? 237 first-half rushing yards with Malik Willis at quarterback and Marvin Harrison Jr. After saying and pouting after week one, Kyler saying it's not my job to make sure he gets the football. had 4 for 131 early.
Mm-hmm.
4 for 131, and the Cardinals had their first 28-point lead in 4 years. First time they were up 28 points in four seasons on anyone.
You know what the last one may have been? It may have been
Cowboys.
I think it was that Cowboys game right after Dak got hurt. That was the one where they beat him by like 40.
All right, I got some stats for you here, some added ones. Underdogs were 10-5 against the spread in week two. If you bet every NFL game so far this year, you bet the underdog to cover every single one of them, you'd be 18-14. Carr, so far, most bet player to win the NFL MVP at MGM. He's taken home over 30% of all bets going into this week, at the highest percent of MVP bets at 22%. So that number rose over the 48 hours after. You can get him at 35-1. The books do not want Kyler Murray to win. 40% of all money on him since Friday is on him to go 60-1 to win the MVP. 80% of all Cowboy bets, all bets in the entire sports world on the over on the Cowboy game, which hit at halftime. Vegas was way, way off on this one. But some other game ones, you know, the Saints scored, like we said, 91 points in two games, fourth highest total in league history. They're the third team since the merger to do it. And the other two teams since the merger to score that many have won the Super Bowl that year.
Oh.
Okay. And one of them is the 09 Saints.
They'll have another parade just like they did in Arlington.
Yeah, absolutely. Alvin Kamara,
it would be kind of cool to go to New Orleans for the Super Bowl if the Saints were in it.
It'd be a party.
That would be a party. Alvin Kamara had 172 yards and 6 touchdowns on Christmas Day in 2020. And, of course, he had the 180 and 4 touchdowns. He's the fifth player in the Super Bowl era with multiple career 150 scrimmage yards games and 4 TDs.
Ooh,
somebody, in that same game. I didn't realize that somebody had pointed out his last two games against Zimmer, he scored 10 touchdowns. Because it was 4 in this one, and his last game against Zimmer, he scored 6.
Cowboys are the fifth team in the Super Bowl era to give up at least 44 points in back-to-back home games.
Nice.
Yeah. Steelers are 2-0. They beat the Broncos 13-6. They've totaled one touchdown in those two wins. First team since the Lions in 2000 to start 2-0 despite scoring just one touchdown over the first two games.
Bobby's Super Bowl contender over here.
That's right. Let's see. Burrow and Mahomes have met 5 times. All 5 games, the final score is decided by 3 or less, which makes it the only quarterback matchup where that has happened in NFL history.
Mm.
How about that? And that victory by Mahomes was
Burrow's blonde hair is looking better, by the way.
It is. Now he's got the dirty blonde.
Yeah.
He doesn't look as
he's back to being cool again.
Yeah, he doesn't look as sinister. So the Mahomes victory was the 76th of his career, which puts him in a tie with Brady and Roger for the most ever by a quarterback in their first 100 starts. The difference is that Pat did it in 98 starts. So he has 2 more chances to break that record. Brock Bowers. You like him, Bobby?
I do. That was one of my other fantasy recommendations to Sean.
Yep.
I went counter to old Matthew Berry on that one.
First tight end in NFL history to catch at least 5 passes for at least 50 yards in each of his first 2 NFL games.
Yep. Awesome. And Matthew Berry's looking like a genius with his Kyler Murray pick. He had Kyler last year, he picked Amon-Ra St. Brown. This year, Kyler Murray is the players you have to have. He's looking like a genius.
Well, that's pretty cool. I didn't see that he was so high on Kyler.
Well, you may want to study his picks before you draft.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm 1-1.
Oh.
I got a good team. All right. I need running back help. And I stacked up on wide receivers. I'm about to trade. They're on the block.
Okay.
Okay. You know, this is what you do. You got to do, you know, my guy for your guy.
Yeah, and we turned out all the trades. Like, we screwed Will Chambers last year.
Did we? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Do you remember the trade?
It was Laporta, right?
For?
I don't remember.
Wide receiver. Always injured.
Cooper Kupp.
And we shut it down as a league, and Laporta goes on to destroy. Yep. And Will Chambers still lets us hear about it, as he should.
As he should.
Oh.
Jaden Daniels had 44 rush yards against the Giants. It gives him 132 through two games. He has broken RG3's record for the most rushing yards by a quarterback in their first 2 career NFL games. He did it by 8 yards.
Have the congregation select Jaden Daniels, RG3, just like he did Arch.
That's all right.
All right, around the NFL.
I got the, this is a wild set. Best deep ball threat in the NFL is who?
Best deep ball threat?
Yeah, as a receiver.
Tyreek
Hill, right? Like, that's a slam dunk. Everybody says that. Nope. Rashid Shaheed from the New Orleans Saints. So on that 70-yard touchdown that Shaheed caught, it traveled 54.5 yards in the air. It was Shaheed's seventh reception of over 50 yards of air distance since 2023. Nobody else in the NFL has more than three.
Where's he from?
He was Weber State. That's where he came from. He was undrafted.
Harold Arsenault.
He was a Pro Bowler last year as a kick returner. But you're talking about he's got seven in the last 2 years. Nobody else has more than three, including Tyreek Hill. Jared Goff has made his name in recent years for being really good against the blitz. That's been one of the things that he's had a lot of success against, was when he's getting blitzed, he's able to take advantage of that. Not in this game this past weekend against the Bucs. That was his kryptonite. He, under pressure, was 9 of 17 for 117 yards and two interceptions. His passer rating was 35.3. We mentioned the Aiden Hutchinson 4.5 sacks that he had. He had three in the first quarter, and he became the fourth player since 2000 with three-plus sacks in the first quarter of a game, and the first since Chandler Jones did it against Tennessee. Green Bay, with their victory, they're the franchise reached the 800 victory mark with the win over the Colts. And Anthony Richardson in that game completed just 6 of 16 passes over 10 air yards for 100 yards, a touchdown, and three interceptions. He threw three picks on air yard attempts over 10 yards.
Wow. Let's chop it up.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
Have you downloaded the new iOS 18 onto your phone yet, Sean?
Didn't ask me.
I never download it myself. I think it's just like an automatic update when it makes my phone do it. But I saw a lot of facial recognition yesterday. It was trending that you can now do that to access your text messages. And people are like, you want to know if your person's cheating? They have the facial ID for their text messages. There's your tell. That was trending yesterday. Facial ID for that.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. They've already had it on like hidden photos and deleted photos and everything like that.
Really?
Yeah. So if you want to get to your pics,
yeah,
you know, you got to use your face ID. I almost said facial there, but whatever.
No, that's what's in the folder.
So they already they are complaining because this has been met with battery troubles, draining the battery life, killing their battery, making jokes of the device overheating. So people have been showing photos of in an hour, the phone going from just sitting there, not doing anything on it, going from 80% to 60% in an hour.
No.
And that's what happens to older phones. Like I have.
Now, why did you write, are me and Peyton going to make the transition and conversion? Aren't you in that mix?
Yes, I am. Yeah. But it was like, are you going to the dark side? Because one of the tricks they say to avoid this is to go to dark mode.
Oh.
Because that doesn't use as much light.
I do not use dark mode. Do you?
I use it on some things like fantasy football. I've used it on Twitter. I use dark mode. But yeah, on some of the, on like the settings, it's light mode still.
So like everything's dark mode. Like texts or...
Why?
I just think it looks cooler.
It does look cooler.
Yeah, I just like it. I don't know. You want me to really sound like a snob. Light mode looks just too Android for me.
I don't know what that means, but you...
I don't even know the word I want to use, but the just total spineless lack of conviction on any take that you have, especially on this one... I can't believe that you were Mr. Anti-Apple a year ago, and now you are. Now you are.
Listen, I'm not pro. I think I can't wait. I can't wait for Android to get iMessage.
You don't drink the Kool-Aid. You bathe in it, and you're like splashing it all over your body.
I just enjoy making fun of you because I can't wait to go back. I really can't. I can't wait until Samsung gets the iMessage, and I can just go back. I just enjoy the phone better. I did keyboard better. Like, I hate not having a cursor, like the buttons. You can do the arrows to get, you know, to move your the cursor over. It's just a better phone. I have this now, so I have to support it.
If you used, I swear, I know, like everybody always loves to do the Android that's a broke boy or whatever else. Like if Peyton or you shot, if you guys use the Android, the Galaxy phones for like a month, you would be like, yeah, I would never use the iPhone ever again.
Really?
It's a better phone.
It's a better phone, but the texting sucks, and that's why. Most thing I do on my phone is text.
Why don't they just fix the texting thing and have everyone switch over?
What's your issue with the text? Not the actual text itself, but like the file attachments and stuff, that sort of thing?
No, iMessage is just better. It's objectively just a better text. You can send photos easier. Now, they've made some upgrades to
Send photos easier to iPhones. Android to Android sends just as well. It's just there's not as people with Androids as there are iPhones.
They need to fix like the Samsung sending to the other and vice versa.
Yeah, they just refuse to have those interact friendly with each other.
iPhone's encrypted so that they won't open up their sandbox.
Can I bring up a technology question and chopping it up?
Yeah.
What the hell happened with the pagers yesterday?
Is this in Hezbollah?
Yes.
I have no idea. Was that an attack
in Hezbollah? That's not a city.
Yeah.
Or was it
Hezbollah? That's a group.
That's a group.
Listen, if they wanted to be part of my world, they would come over here.
Sure.
Okay.
Is that in Al Qaeda?
They're trying to get over here.
Gathering the foreigners.
Yeah, they're trying to get over here. Was that an attack or was that just, it just happened to
Can I MapQuest?
Who, by the way, is using Hamas? A pager? Who's using a pager?
Well, yeah, it was a bunch of pagers exploded in Lebanon, it was a coordinated attack.
So, but my question is, number one, who has pagers? And number two, how did they get these people to have the pagers? Like, were they handing out, like, this was a pager sale and everyone, like, how did they get the pager on these persons? That's what I want to know. Because this is random explosions taking place, terrifying, having people say, what is in our cell phones? What the heck? It killed at least 9 people.
I'm trying to look at this now, so because I hadn't read any more about the story, but I know the New York Times here has it, and take that for which will. It says the headline is Israel planted explosives and pagers sold to Hezbollah, officials say. So that is at least the claim of, it doesn't say who, it says according to American and other officials briefed on the operation. So this was
the pagers that blew up were apparently acquired by Hezbollah after the group's leader ordered members in February to stop using cell phones, warning they could be tracked by Israeli intelligence. The pagers were a new brand, but declined to say how long they had been in use. Wow.
Yeah, it was scary. It was scary seeing that. How rude are we in the great state of Texas?
Ooh.
So a study was done of the rudest cities in the U.S. Now, no cities in Texas made the top 10, but one city in Texas placed much, much higher than they did the previous year that this study took place. And that was Austin.
That's what I was going to guess.
California, very bad people. Very bad people. So Austin moved, skyrocketed up the rankings.
Reputation-wise, I would think that they're not rude.
Free love, all that thing. Yeah, that is their reputation. That is their reputation. But now, that's one of the fastest-growing spots for transplants.
Yeah.
And one of the aspects of this study is most Americans view transplants as ruder than longtime residents of that area.
Okay. Now, I don't travel around. Bobby does for the Cowboys and everything. Do you still think that like Southern hospitality and Texans are nicer than other people despite our arrogance?
Okay, so
can you be that Southern hospitality, nice and kind, while being arrogant at the same time, which we are?
Yeah,
and proud, not arrogant.
Proud.
Let's get it right. I've spent the most time outside of Texas, obviously in California. Because, in recent years, because of our training camp trips and then when we were out there for 49ers games and other things like that, I notice a totally different just culture and tone. Like, there just seems to be a very dismissive, like, not even recognition of anybody else around you kind of feeling in California. That doesn't exist here. Like, I still think there's people smile, nod. I mean, obviously, there are certain areas of here where you're going to get a little more snobbery. But, no, I think it's still a nice...
I spent a lot of time in the Southeast, like at college, obviously, and I noticed one of the things I didn't like is that they were very polite.
25 years ago.
It was a long time ago. I'm not going to lie. But they were very polite to your face, and then they would talk about you behind your back. Whereas, like, in other parts, like in Philadelphia, they would just tell you to your face that you suck.
At the risk of damaging one of our firehouse tours, going to a local city, would you guys have a nominee for rudest city in our vicinity, not Austin?
Ooh, rudest city.
I mean,
rudest area.
Dallas,
probably.
Like, I mean, just like this, like, honestly, kind of where we're at. Like, this is the ruder part of the metro.
I don't even know if it's rude.
Kind of uppity.
Uppity, yeah, snobby, nose up.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. You know, there's actually a debate. You mentioned the Southern hospitality thing. I didn't realize this. There's an actual debate, apparently, about is Texas even the South? Like, it's obviously South.
Oh, yeah.
But the idea of the South, they say, Texas. No, you're talking Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama. That's what you're talking about.
It's, I mean, I think it's just Texas. I think it's its own region. I don't think people in Georgia consider Texas the South.
What about Hezbollah? You think that's...
Listen. I think it's a very fair point.
Chopping it up here during the hump day.
Hump day?
Expressway on the Fan.
Miami was number one, rudest. Philadelphia was number two. Oh, Tampa, three.
God, I hated going out of Miami. I hated it. I really did. Great to look at.
Did not absolutely
feel like I could go and converse in any in any group. What was two and three?
Two is Philadelphia. Three is Tampa. Four is Louisville.
Man, I've heard bad things about Tampa. Terrible things about Ybor Tampa. City. And the Miami airport sucked.
I liked Tampa a lot more than Jacksonville. Like, as a city, the people, everything else.
How satisfied are you in the bedroom?
Oh, Lord.
Kids. they were asked to rank on a scale of 1 to 10. What number do you think was the most popular number to choose?
Who is they? Like, what was the demographics we were talking to here?
1,500 Americans.
Six.
Six. Okay, six got 6%. The number, yeah.
Well, I'm guessing 1 and 10 are the most popular answers.
10 got 10%. 10 was the second highest. One was the number one. 24% of people graded their love life, their satisfaction in that aspect of it, as the number one.
So on average, one out of every four people would grade it a one. So which one of us is the one?
Wait, they're saying that, so one is the best or worst?
Worst.
The worst.
Oh, they're saying that their love life is the worst.
So one of us would grade it a one, Peyton.
The Bobby. Most. Satisfied state in America. And I'll tell you, what a great line by this news, by the New York Post here.
Satisfied.
I can't
I was thinking, what is a sassy state?
You guys obviously don't listen to Clarence Carter, okay? So
who's that?
He's a singer. Oh. He did a song called Stroking back in the 70s.
Hey.
Oh. The article says, in Oklahoma, the wind isn't the only thing that comes. It is the number one state for most satisfied. Texas is number three.
Oklahoma.
Ooh. What are they doing there at Edmond? The hell's going on?
I was Oklahoma. As Carter just walked by. That's Oklahoma. A vision I want to get out of my mind.
Oklahoma, Kentucky, Texas, Maine, Iowa, Louisiana, Arkansas, New Hampshire, Georgia, South Dakota. A lot of states with nothing to do other than us.
Maine.
Right. There's nothing to do in Maine.
All right. It's a loaded Wednesday edition. It's a Meet Church Wednesday with Matt Pittman at 8:20, the official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys. How the schedule could be the end of Mike McCarthy at 8:40. Dan Hunt on the big news that passed yesterday. If you love soccer and you want another Ford Center at the Star and Frisco type facility, and Nick Eatman in the final hour as well. This is tough, at least for me. Really tough. 1 through 5, 5 through 1. What's your NFL power rankings look like this week? That is next on Sean and RJ.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-through and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.